If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is, which one are you? A human being or a human doing? Don't you love these topics? Anyway, usually Spirit will drop an idea into my mind just before I go on the air, and that was what just dropped into my mind. And I was reminded of, quite a few years back when I had an absolutely insane schedule that I was trying to fulfill. And one of the people in my workshops came up to me and asked me, well, are you a human being or are you a human doing? And, I took that back and I chewed on it and I looked at it and I found out I was a human doing. And I had sort of lost the beingness and the doingness. So I thought we'd look at that tonight since everybody seems to be quite concerned about the doingness of things. In fact, it's rare that someone doesn't call me or email me almost every day and ask, I feel like I need to be doing something, but I don't know what I should be doing. Could you give me some personal direction on what I need to do? I guess I would have to ask us, are you one of the many light workers wondering what you are to do next? But so far, next hasn't shown up yet. Or do you experience a sense of urgency to do something, but at the same time lack any sense of direction? Or are you like one of the many who feel like flat ginger ale left to sit out too long with all of your get up and go, gone off and went? There are days when I can relate to all of the above, but I don't let myself go there because I've also learned that it's an exercise in futility. It wastes energy, and it's really siding with the false self, the ego self, and so we're going to look at that a bit tonight. But to begin with, let's do a little clearing and integration process, and so we'll be in a nice, comfortable position, and take a deep breath. Visualize yourself as extending as a column of love and light and sound, as a consciousness stream right from the very heart of Source, not leaving, not departing, but simply bestowing yourself, as it were, as a gifting of immortal love into the fabric of time and space and being and becoming. And see yourself lined up as a continuum of this light and love and sound, is a column of beautiful, pure, white, crystalline light that integrates from your Christ self, your spirit, your Christ oversoul, your Christ consciousness, and down into your physical body, and bring it all the way down through your feet and anchor it firmly in the soul star in the center of the earth. Now take a deep breath. Fill yourself with light and expand, 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 and at the periphery of the aura, violet flame, just dissolve any misqualified energy, anything you don't need to bear or carry with you from this moment on. With this goes any entities, any booger bears, any Klingons, whatever may be in you that's not supposed to be part of your life stream goes now in the name of Jesus. And just see any misqualified energy just go into that violet light, violet flame. And it's transmuted into loving and gracious energy. And those beings that need to be escorted to their appropriate domains are escorted by the angels now. And just fill yourself up with that pure white light. Have a deep breath. And let it clear you and anoint you and appoint you and infuse you. And bring into you the energies, the helping, the wealthing, the loving, the infilling of whatever it is that you would like to receive right now. Just ask. And receive. And we receive by thanking the universe that we already have, that which we have asked for. And so we celebrate its advent into our life. Connecting with your highest state of consciousness, in which you can kind of give an eagle eye overview of your life. Just do a little run through of present status for you. What are you doing right now in your life? What are you being right now in your life? Where is the emphasis of the energy? Where is the dynamic going on? Are you working with physical health situations, financial situations, relational dynamics, children issues, spouse issues? Is your energy caught up in a maelstrom of emotional ups and downs? How about your mind? Do you have a calm mind, a peaceful mind? A mind that's a blessing? Or do you have one that visits you with negative imagery, negative thoughts? Where you have the dynamic going on is where you are working through lessons and completing karmic momentums that have been sown in previous lifetimes. So you might say that's your area or arena where you're doing your work. And as you step free and learn the lessons and the keys to enable you to walk in that state of equipoise, samadhi as it's called in Sanskrit, you also become a way shower and a light and an agent that sets others free, because we are all intrinsically united. So just see everything in your life as part of your assignment. It's right and proper for you. Nothing is to be looked down on as lesser or not spiritual. That's not actually ever accurate. Everything in your life is part of your spiritual path. There's no such thing as a difference between your material so-called life, your everyday life, and your spiritual life. They're one and the same. So just accept that which is in your life and make peace with it. Nothing is designed to harm you. Everything is a stepping stone on your way of ascension. Everything ultimately will be your friend and will bless you. So just release any concerns, any worries, and put yourself fully and completely in the hands of the Lord. You can visualize the Lord in any particular way that makes you feel comfortable, that makes you feel loved and embraced. The Lord is like cookie dough. You can press out any number of different shapes and forms, but the inherent ingredients is the same, and the Lord is sweet. So taste of his presence, and taste the sweetness that is the presence of the Beloved. The Beloved is in you. The Beloved is around you, before you, behind you, to your right, to your left, above and below. In fact, you are the Beloved. So just take that on board. Breathe it in. And sense the presence of the beloved. It's coming around you right now like a warm, kind of like a warm enmantling of energy that's enfolding your physical body right now. Just allow yourself to feel it. It's almost as if great arms were holding you. Beloved, if you knew that every single moment of your life you're being watched and guarded and looked over and celebrated and cherished, if you but knew that every single thing is known and loved and accepted, that's how much you are regarded by the spiritual benefactors that oversee us, that great silent witness, cloud of witnesses that's called in the Bible before the throne. Those who've gone on, who have ascended into higher levels of consciousness, surround us at all times, guiding and guarding, fostering and mentoring. Do you realize that in your many lifetimes you have been a student and a disciple of all of the great ones? You've been a Buddhist and been a Sufi and a Muslim and a Hindu and a Christian. So many paths we've walked. We've been a dervish. We've been a nun and a priest. You've walked through the Himalayas. You've scaled the Alps and the Andes. You've sat in the councils of the elders, many, many indigenous tribes. You walked about in ancient Atlantis, Lemuria, Egypt, and Greece. You have sailed through the skies in the great ships of light. Your holy feet have touched the countless worlds, galaxies, dimensions. Oh, beloved, know you not that everything that is resides as an energy and a blessing within you, within your very DNA? Sense your omnipresence. Sense your omniscience. Sense your omnipotence. Just sense that if in highest truth you have never left the heart of God, then all you desire to be is what you already are. You just need to move your awareness to where that allness resides and partake of it. What if you just moved your spiritual inner awareness present now into your holy, ascended, transcendental, divine form? Let's just do it as an exercise. Just do it. Take a deep breath and move your spiritual inner awareness into the fullness of who you are as an immortal spirit. And just have tea with that presence for a while. Just hang out with it. And have compassion and great patience with a little time-space place marker that you call your physical envelope. Just have great compassion upon that part of you that has extended as a kiss of love pressed upon the fabric of time and space. Don't criticize, don't judge. Don't harass yourself with questions of doing this and have to do this and have to do that. Beloved, it's as easy as breathing in and breathing out, relaxing and trusting. Let go Allow yourself to be borne aloft by the winds of spirit like a leaf, like a golden leaf. Let yourself go now and just imagine you're as light as golden leaf floating upon the winds of the Holy Spirit. Feel yourself upheld and surrounded and carried along without any efforting, without any doing on your part. Surrender to that feeling. Embrace of it. Allow it. That is the truth, beloved. And that part that we hold back, where we resist, that is the part that needs to be trained to let go. That's what we call the ego. That little resistance that holds back. So let it dissolve in that violet flame. Let it be consumed by the divine flame of love. And release yourself to be the ascended being that you've always been. To be that great cosmic presence of love. Simply present. Simply loving. Take a deep breath. Integrate, activate, decode. Bring all of that in and own it. That is you. That's for you. That's eternal. Nobody can take that from you. That's reality. And let me ask you this, beloved. Are you a devotee of the Lord? If you are, you're probably a very, very happy person. Very confident, very relaxed, and completely present, just like a kitten, like a lamb, like a gentle, innocent child, just loving and present, because you're so secure in the care that the Lord has embraced you with and surrounded you with. Do you know that the Lord has promised to bear your burdens and to see to your welfare? Do you know that once you become a subject of the King, or a child of the King of Kings, or a devotee of the Lord, you can pick your own metaphor here, do you know that it's the Lord or the King's dharma to take care of you? Did you know that? Yeah, if you have yielded yourself fully and completely to the Lord, is He not obligated to care for you? Well, if you doubt the goodness of God, I want you to, if you choose to, I mean, it's a free will thing, but as an exercise, you might want to journal about the times you have had absolute freak out shreks over how you're going to do something, let's say pay the rent or meet the mortgage or whatever. You know, whatever your trauma was. And think back how the Lord met your needs. Oh, it could have come through a human agency. And you know, usually the Lord will use people or use situations. But who is the instigator behind it? It's the Lord. But if you begin to see the faithfulness of the Lord in caring for you and meeting your needs, you begin to really release yourself into a high level of trust, because you see how trustworthy He is. And just do a little overview of your life and see. So often we just attribute things like this to, oh, it was a, you know, coincidence, or a, you know, it was just a lucky thing that happened, or, you know, we don't really take on board the significance of the daily miracles that we have. I have so many I could do 25 shows just telling you my personal experiences of miracles, of how the Lord has taken care of me. again and again and again. So this is very, very important for you to really get deep down inside your spirit, because this is what will sustain you in these times that we are in, where so many people are running frightened, running scared. And for a devotee of the Lord, there's no reason for that to ever be the case. And so, there's a couple of stories that come to my mind here. One time, Sai Baba came up to a person and said, "The prayer in your heart reaches me instantly." And when you hear someone who's God-realized talking in the first person, don't get bent out of shape about that, because God is one. And when a person has become one with the Father principle within, with the divine spirit within, they talk like that. They talk in the first person. That's why Jesus could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father save by me." He wasn't talking as Jesus the man. He was talking as the Christ consciousness, who is fully aware of its sonship with the Father and has become one with the sonship of the Father. There's no longer a sense of separate identity. And that is something that we can say too. But hear this again. The avatar said to this person that the prayer in your heart reaches me instantly. Think about it. You know, your heart is always praying. Your thoughts are prayers. You're praying 24/7. You just don't realize it. If you're worrying, you're praying to the wrong person. You're praying to the ego form. But if you are, if your heart is welling up with a real deep desire that is a good desire, a beneficial thing, that is the Lord within you. And the Lord within you responds and is heard instantly, so to speak, and the Lord and those around you also hear and respond and come forward to meet that need. So there was another person another time that Sai Baba said, as he looked into his eyes, "You need faith." And he put his hand on the devotee's forehead, and he went on to say, "If you have faith in me, I shall wipe out your old karma and write in a new one. But faith is required." I was also reminded, as I was thinking about this story, about the two statements from the Bible, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And the just shall walk by faith, and not by sight. They shall call forth a thing that is not, as though it were, and it shall be. So, these are what we are learning as devotees of the Lord, is to walk by faith and not by sight. This is where you don't know how it's going to happen, you can't see any answer, but you know God's got a plan, you know the divine is in movement in your life, you know a happy outcome is assured, you know your needs will be met, you don't have to sweat on how it's going to be done. That's the Lord's business. You just take care of your business. And what is your business? Your business, beloved, is to be a human. The very word human being gives our whole definition of what we're on earth to be and do. H-U, is the divine sacred name for God. Man, or manas, is the Sanskrit word, which means the thinker, the knower. Manusha is the Sanskrit word for man. So the human is a person that can know, understand, think of, become aware of God. And being is the state of living in that unified field of knowing your oneness with God, as opposed to a human doing. That's a whole other paradigm, a human doing. But the human being pretty well sums up our major assignment here on Earth. So let's start with that question. Are you a human being? And if so, that is really all you need to do. Anything else will show up as required. you know, that's the simple life. That's the uncluttered, uncomplicated, simple, divine life. You breathe in, you breathe out, you stay present with your process, you love and forgive and release it all, and you don't sweat the small stuff, the hows and the wherefores, you leave that up to God. So your life is uncomplicated when you stay focused upon your genuine dharma, your real divine purpose. Oh, that's modified a little bit by your gender, your age, your position and stage in life. These kind of qualify and color it, you know, beef it out a little bit. But basically your dharma is to be a true human, a true knower of God. And inherent within fulfilling your divine purpose is your material support in life. I mean, think about it. Everything in nature is supported and nourished as it fulfills its designed function. Plants, animals, birds, not one of them worries about what to do or how to survive. It's built right into their inherent nature and God-given function. Mankind, on the other hand, is a hybrid, a synthesis of all these kingdoms of nature, but as a human being is the only one who gets worried about what to do and becomes concerned about how to survive. And this is because human beings alone possess self-awareness and a mental body capable of directly knowing and understanding oneself and one's relationship to the divine. So the question could then shift am I living a true human life? Am I being a human being or a human doing? And since we've defined a human or a human being, let's look at a human doing. A human doing is basically a being lost in doing. And the doing indicates that person is asleep. Asleep to a real life. And the sleep is a fitful one, fraught with nightmares and fearful, threatening imagery. So a human doing is a person who thinks it all depends on himself to make his way in life, to supply all of his survival requirements, to come up with all the resources and the solutions and the answers. Wow, no wonder such a person is fearful and unhappy, stressed and insecure. And, you know, doing, when you think you're the doer, that's the path of creating more karma. Because if you believe you're the doer, then you also get the results of the doing. So whether those are good results or negative results, you still get bound to one of the lokas, one of the bardos, and you're not free. So the only way to live free is to relinquish the sense of personal doership. Just like Jesus said, I of myself do nothing. The Father does all things through me. I do nothing except what the Father tells me to do. So Jesus had a complete sense of surrender and yieldedness to the Father, to the Holy Spirit indwelling him. He never was the author of his own actions. He was simply allowing himself to be an instrumentality of the divine. And he set that whole archetype for every one of us. He wasn't the one of. He was the first of a whole family of sons of God, sons and daughters of God. So that's all of us. So in terms of a human doing, if we were looking at an average person, we could say, well, this is an immature soul, one who's destined for quite a few more life experiences on planet Earth. However, this show is designed for lightworkers, for the awakening and the awakened ones who are here to hold a steady vision of light, love, and truth upon earth. It's for you. Those of you who have come here specifically to serve as wayshowers during this earth cycle of changes and transformation, we are here to hold an energy field that is so dynamic and evocative and powerful that it serves as a vanguard of wayshowers to help to usher in and shepherd the people that are going through great shrek right now, great upset, great freakouts because they don't understand what's going on in many cases. We're the ones that are supposed to hold the whole thing together in a great vanguard of light. So if we quake and cavil and collapse, I mean, who's going to be the light in this world? That's our job right now. So the question could be asked of ourselves, am I a way shower to those I interact with on a daily basis? Do I exemplify steady faith, goodwill, and a peaceful, calm, and loving demeanor? How do you act with the people that share your life? If you're not living a life of steadfast faith and trust in the divine within you, and without as the visible world, then your higher self may indeed be trying to get your attention. And the higher self will get your attention however it needs to, sometimes by dramatic interruption of your status quo life. Now, sometimes it will orchestrate all sorts of things to get your attention and to disrupt your patterns so that you can be given a real life, a better life. And sometimes it looks like everything's being taken away. And the Course in Miracles says that when you go through that stage, you seldom realize that nothing that is being taken from you or seems like it's being taken from you really has any value, and you don't really want it anyway. They're just things you filled your life with thinking that that was going to do it, and then to find out later, hey, you know, you didn't do diddly-dupus for me. That really wasn't what I wanted. But sometimes you don't know that until you're, you know, it's wrested from you, and then you live with that for a while. It's like, oh, wow, I'm so grateful that's gone. I didn't realize what a burden it was. I remember when they, one time they repossessed my brand-new Lincoln Continental car, and I thought, surely God's not going to take my Lincoln Continental car. But, you know, I hated to drive that sucker because I was always worried it was going to get dented or, you know, somebody's going to bang into it or somebody get into it with dirty shoes or whatever. It was never a source of peace for me because I was always worried about it. And when that was gone, it was like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I'd much rather drive this older car that I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to look at people's shoes when they get in and out of the car. So life's just like that. It's just weird like that. And sometimes we don't realize how bound we are until we're set free of some of these things. So again, you gotta trust. You gotta just trust. Engrave it. Put it on your mirrors, whatever. Trust. Trust would solve every problem now. And another saying from the Course in Miracles, if you but knew who walks beside you every step of the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible. And what could you not accept if you but knew that every experience is lovingly prepared by one whose only purpose is your good? Oh, wow. These are things that can light our hearts and give us so much strength. These are real nuggets of real nutrition that we need to really feed ourselves on a daily basis to counteract all of the negative soothsaying that's out there now. All of the people, all of the talking heads, all of the consensus fear that rises up. We have to be super, super strong in affirming the light and the truth and being true humanusha, divine beings. So give yourself your life a good looking over and see where you are in this equation. Just kind of, you know, if you do a self-evaluation periodically and course correct and you know, fine-tune your instrument, it's a very good idea. It keeps you on track. And when you realize that what we are being is so much more important. It's not really so important what we are doing, but rather how we're doing whatever it is we do. So what is your overall attitude in your place of employment? Or your state of unemployment? Can you be at peace with the fact that you don't have a job? Can you trust the Lord to find a way to supply your needs even if you don't have a job? Do you realize that you're in the employ of the Lord? You have a big job. You have a cosmic job. You've come to be the love of God made visible on earth. Wow, that's your real job. These other things just keep you out of mischief by taking up, you know, 10 hours of your day. But that's not your real job. Your real job is that you work for the King of Kings. You're in his employ. And he pays really good wages and gives you lots of bonuses and lots of benefits. So look to your real boss. Look to your real job. Don't get too stressed about the datum debts that we do, you know, to bring in those funny little pieces of paper and those funny little round discs of metal that we place such importance on. That's not what sustains you. The Course in Miracles says that we are sustained by the love of God. That is the greatest power and the greatest assurance that your needs will be met is the more you extend that loving, the more you extend in giving of yourself and your love and your light into the universe, the more the universe flows back to you as support and blessings and sustenance. You know the old saying that the giving hand never lacks? You know, it's so true. If you want more of whatever it is, just start giving whatever it is that you want more of and watch how it keeps boomeranging back. Just watch how it keeps coming back to you. So we need to remind ourselves as often as is necessary that our spiritual life and our mission and our everyday life and activities are one and the same. You are spiritual, and your life is all about spiritual lessons designed to enlighten you. Think about it. Your whole life is designed as a school of initiation, specifically for you. It's to strengthen the areas where you're a little bit weak. It's to pare down the areas where you're a little too full of yourself. It's to test the areas to see if you really have held into a level of growth. All of the things in your life are part of that. The things that bug you and, you know, vex your spirit, so to speak, they're in there to help you to develop tolerance and compassion and patience. So think of it this way. How would your life be different if you knew that the only thing that mattered was your loving? And that you were being actually observed and graded only in terms of your love quotient. Well, the truth is you are. The spiritual guides of humanity are aware of every single individual, and we are all being observed and graded as to how much light we can absorb and integrate into our everyday lives. That's what produces that higher vibration that we want to see forth. That enables us to raise to a higher dimensional picturing of the earth, to move into the golden age, to move into that ascended state, to move into those light bodies. We have to vibrate as pure light, which translates as loving. Light and love are the same thing. And light and love and God are the same thing. And light and love, expressed through the human instrument, are proof that the divinity within the human being is flowing forth in full measure. So when we are in a reactive negative state or contracted in some way, and fraught with worry and anxiety and fear and depression and all of that, there's very little light that shows. And no loving is being expressed in such a state. Then we're caught up in our negative ego. In fact, you know, look at a person's face when they're, say, for example, they're in love or they're really happy. You'll see that they're all lit up. Their faces glow. And consequently, look at someone when they're in a bad mood. It looks like their face is darkened. Their skin doesn't shine, and their eyes get dull. And their face actually looks darkened. And just notice that. Notice it in yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror when you're in a bad mood, and then look at yourself in the mirror when you're in a good mood. Or what I like to do, I like to always smile at myself when I look in the mirror. You know, to remind myself that a smile is an evidence that God is in the heart and all is well. And, you know, smile is light, is visible light in your expression. So when you find yourself in the human doing and caught up in negative ego, the way out of that is to recognize that for what it is. It's a negative ego state. It's a light-depriving state. It's a contracted state. And when that is present, you call yourself forward in the divine light, just like we did when we started the show. And you ask that divine light to wash through you, and you just visualize it washing all the way through your body, clearing as it goes through you. And then you forgive yourself for forgetting that you and your loved ones are divine. I forgive myself for judging myself, for forgetting that I am one with God. And boy, the minute you say that, it's gone. It's lifted instantly. There's no need to process this stuff. You just let it go. And that's really the only difference between a matured master soul and a neophyte. The master soul sees negativity coming and steps away from it immediately. The neophyte, however, will identify with the negative ego state, judge it, and hold on to it. And he holds on to it through guilt, blame, judgment, and keeping it in place through unforgiveness and projecting the blame onto others. So I think we're all familiar with that because we've all done it. I mean, you know, these things are learned by all the mistakes and finding out what doesn't work. So processing is also very unnecessary. We recognize that the ego is a false state, misidentification. It's not who you are. So just clear it and let it go. You don't have to understand it. You just need to recognize it. That's not who you are. It's a false state. And let it go. So perhaps these things look a little bit clearer to all of us now. That the only thing really that's important is for us to be doing is practicing loving. Whatever the situation, whatever the provocation, whatever is going on, choose the loving. Just choose the loving. And ask yourself, what is the most loving thing I can do in this moment? When you write your emails, realize people can't see your face. They can't really read what your heart is trying to say. So refine your email so that they reflect the smile and the warmth of your heart. They may seem a little flowery at first, but realize that the flowery interprets as the loving. So fine-tune your expression in every way you can to make it more soft, more genteel, more loving, more heartfelt, more direct. Don't have hidden things or hidden agendas. Say what is so from you, but from a loving space, without blame, without negativity. Just allow your nature, your beautiful divine nature, to be revealed through your sweetness and your gentleness and your kindness. These are how people can tell that you're a devotee of the Lord, by your love and by your selfless service and your ability to just be present without agenda. That's how they interpret you as a way shower, as a devotee of the Lord, and as a true human. So how would your life be different if you knew, really, really knew, that your only purpose here is to be love? Be love. That's why I call you the Beloved. You are the only Beloved. But how would that affect your present situation right now? Whatever it is that you're involved with. If your only purpose was to be love, how would it affect that that situation right now, the choices that you make? Yeah, I can hear somebody saying, well, that sure won't put food on my table or pay my mortgage. Oh, no. I beg to differ with you. You haven't been doing much research into the lives and testimonies of God's people. Wow. Millions and millions, millions of people are sharing their stories of how God has met their needs, made them debt-free when they had thousands and thousands of dollars of debt and they were getting ready to claim bankruptcy. And God would bless them and flourish them just by some simple choices that they made to choose faith over fear. So loving entitles you to grace, which engenders ongoing miracles. Of course, a miracle says that miracles are natural. When they don't occur, it's because something is wrong. Miracles are your right and need to be every day ongoing. And miracles are always where the law is suspended through transcending into the loving. So the loving approach transcends the law of karma. It puts you into the level of Christ consciousness, which is divine love, and you step free through grace. And your karma is wiped out, and you're walking in a new paradigm. There's no karma in Christ. There's no karma in Christ. Karma and reincarnation come in under the fallen energies of the Dark Lord, the ego form that we call Satan, or Kalnaranjan. But we are walking the path of grace. We are in the way, the infinite way, of the Christ consciousness, and there's no karma on that path. That's where the Lord has taken your burden, and he carries you as the divine bridegroom. He carries you as the collective bride across the threshold to the new dimensional consciousness, the new earth, the fifth dimension, whatever you want to call that. You no longer live according to the world's standards. You have been delivered from the world. You've made the great exodus out of the world. And you live by grace. And that's why it's so important for us to shift our consciousness from the law of karma into the way of grace, the higher divine consciousness. And when you're living by the divine standards, divine standards don't shift and change with the economy or the rise and fall of the stock market. It doesn't have anything to do with that. We are supplied by the King of Kings, whose very honor is reflected in how well he cares for his subjects. So, you know, we don't serve as very good examples of the Lord if we're allowing ourselves to be impoverished and living in fear. And we can only do that if we insist upon allowing the ego to run our lives. And the ego will certainly create that because that's its job, is to keep you away from the spiritual flow. So think about the divine standards. The divine standards are revealed in the biblical statement, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed, their children, begging bread. That means provision is there for your household. Provision is there for your children. Don't worry about your children. Have some faith that the Lord has marked them for this generation, for this special time. So that means if you are fulfilling your dharma, your God-assigned function as a human being, you can have full assurance and confidence that your children will have their needs met You will have your needs met. Your whole household will be blessed. And steadfast faith on your part requires that your faith must be met with divine manifestation. It must be. That's the evidence that your faith produces is the substance of whatever it is that you have faithed into. So place faith with God and in His promises, not with the world, not with other people, not with jobs and stocks and bonds and all that stuff. Place your full faith and trust in the Divine Spirit alone. Allow it to guide you, to provide for you, to sustain you throughout all times and events. Just depend on that. Now is the time, really, to hunker down strongly in our faith and to allow the global storms to rage without and to pass over your household. But you stay hidden in the presence of the Lord within the shelter of His embrace. So again, just take a moment to feel the divine embrace now as it feels like warm air all around your body. It is real. It is far more real than anything that seems to be happening in this world. And now is the time that the people of light are marked and called apart to exit the world standards and to walk with the angels, even while they still appear on earth. So we are the people of the new paradigm. And this is our hour to show that forth. And so I'd like to close with a quotation from my teacher, John Roger. If you would learn the secret of soul transcendence, look for the good, the divine, in all people and things, and leave all the rest to God. So we'll go out chanting, you. Take a deep breath. God bless you, and Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.